Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome to a brand new experimental Diesel Punk podcast live here on Facebook. We are actually streaming live with our four co-hosts from remote places in the country via the magic of the interwebs. And you might recognize a very familiar face. Well, maybe not face, but name down in the right-hand bottom corner, Boss Larry Amyet. The band is back together. Larry.
Hey, all right.
It's Woo-hoo. Been forever since we've been able to connect like this because technology has not been our friend. But all of a sudden, in the midst of a pandemic crisis, the technology emerges for us to be reunited once again. And not just via audio, but video.
That's right.
How cool is that? And anyone who's watching that does not know Boss Larry, you have not been a Diesel Punk fan for very long. He is coming to us live from the Dallas-Fort Worth boardroom. And in Memphis, Tennessee, is the enigmatic Dark Soul. And broadcasting live from the back of his van in Smyrna, Tennessee, is pretty boy Corey, or as we like to call him, Cindy Brady.
That's right.
Now, we've got Facebook user here who has posted a question. How are you, my friends? And hello, all. Now, when you guys post from the group, make sure that you give StreamYard permission to use your name and your face. Otherwise, we don't know who you are. We're just going to call you Facebook user. Let's see. We got a comment already for Boss Larry. So sorry to hear about your daughter. Is she symptomatic? And that was the first thing I was going to ask you, Larry.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that very much. For those that don't know, my daughter's been diagnosed with COVID-19. She's already been isolated for a week. They were suspicious that she had the symptoms, and they suspected it might have been a combination of illnesses, flu and COVID. They had it on Theraflu, so it looks like there was some flu indicated, and then the results came back today as being COVID. She's doing okay. She's home. She's home quarantined. She's not so severe to warrant hospitalization. And she's home with her boyfriend, and they are monitoring the situation. I very, very much appreciate all the kind words and positive thoughts and feelings. And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Excellent, Larry. So that's a great segue into what we're doing tonight. For the first time ever, we're having to broadcast remotely on video. And, you know, even though Robert, Dark Soul, and Corey aren't here with me at the Casa de Cool, I am so happy that we're doing it like this so that Larry and maybe a couple of other special guests can join us. And, you know, Larry is one of the co-founders of this podcast, and to have him back on the show after such a long absence it just thrills me to no end. I love it.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. I miss you too, buddy. And this is going to be fun tonight.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just getting together to talk about what kind of things, Diesel Punk things that we're doing during the COVID-19 safer at home shut-in protocols. You know, We're being told to stay at home. You know, it's not really a lockdown because nobody's like enforcing it by law yet. But, you know, us responsible people are, you know, following kind of the requests of our mayors and our governors and staying at home to, you know, keep from getting sick or making other people sick. And so it's tough, right? But what are you guys doing to fill your time at home in a Diesel Punk way?
Who wants Larry? To go first? Oh, okay. Yeah. You know me. I'm always happy to go first.
Oh, yes.
I'm drinking more. Okay.
I am too, but I'm drinking water.
When you're, you know, when you're sheltering in place, it's 5 o'clock somewhere always. Let's see. I'm reading more Diesel Punk. Right now I'm reading In Plain Sight by Dan Will. I hope to post about that on my blog soon. It's an alternate 1930s where magic is real. And he's a private investigator. And his primary talent is to use runes that he draws. And they can do all kinds of things. They can reveal somebody 5 minutes ago. They can do all kinds of cool stuff like that. So I'm reading that right now. I bought it through on Amazon. Got it as Kindle. Watching a whole lot more Diesel Punk on TV. We need to talk about all our favorite Diesel Punk shows.
Yeah, and
where you can find
them
right now.
Yeah, we absolutely will.
The one I'm digging, the one I want to talk about is Babylon Berlin. Season 3. Yeah. Season 3 is out right now. So good.
So Larry, go back to the book that you were just talking about. Cool. Wasn't there another book that you reviewed like last year that had basically the same theme? It was something, the Gates, something. Golly, what was the name of that book?
Turned me on to Tommy Gunn Wizards. Well, that's a little bit of that.
Well, no, this was a prose book. You reviewed it on an episode of the podcast, like, I want to say last year.
Wow, I've drank too much at that time, man.
And it was like the same kind of idea where, you know, magic, everyone was magic except for one guy. And he was the private eye.
I don't know. Oh. Okay.
Now I got to go back and look.
Now I got to go dig through my mountains of books, poor me, and find that. I don't remember it. This is really a good book. I really recommend In Plain Sight. The magic is cool. The artwork, the cover art is really so Diesel Punk. And I can't recommend that enough. It's not expensive, especially if you buy it through Kindle.
Yeah, so I'll talk about some of that stuff here in a minute, and we'll get back to TV. So let's hold TV for just a minute. Corey, what are you doing?
Listening to a lot of Diesel Punk books right now on Audible. I don't get to sit down and read, so I got to listen. Listening to Harry Turtledove's. I love his work, all that alternative history. And then one that you recommended a long time ago. It was, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a series, and it's set in World War II with a lot of magic in it.
Is it the Iron Codex?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, not to interrupt, but Tony Snipes just said, watching you guys. Tony.
Hey, Tony.
You're invited to join us. I sent you the link. Come on, join us. It'll be fun.
Tony.
We would love to have you, Tony. All right. Sorry to interrupt. Oh, hey, look, Eli Cash is watching. Cool. And we got Blake Wilson, who says he's self-loathing in a nice suit. That's his Diesel Punk activity. So anyway, carry on, Corey. Iron Codex. You're listening to that on Audible?
Listening to that, kind of flipping back and forth between that and the Harry Turtledove books. Watching TV whenever I can get it away from the kids.
That is the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, because we got 3 TVs and they take all of them. So, and then just, I like to build models. So I've been kind of doing some World War II models, try and put a Diesel Punk spin on some of them.
Cool.
You need to post some pictures of those.
Yeah, I'll try to get some here in the next couple of days. Nothing's really ready. It's just kind of built. I'm going to work on some painting and stuff here soon. Hopefully maybe do a diorama too. So just, planning a lot of Dieselpunk costumes and a few another big Dieselpunk project I'm looking forward to, hopefully in the next year, if all this junk goes away and we can return to normal life.
That is the question. When do we return to normal life, right?
Yeah, I don't think ever right now.
And what will that normal look like? That's a discussion for another day.
Yep.
But Dark Soul, what about you? What have you been keeping busy doing?
I watched Westworld.
You watched Westworld? I've not seen Westworld.
Me either.
Is it good?
I've seen parts of it.
I like it. I'm watching Babylon Berlin, but I'm about halfway through the season. Just haven't got back into it yet. I just started watching a Spanish serial called El Dragon about Narcos.
Oh, okay.
So I've been reading subtitles.
Well, that's a great jumping off point for you and Larry to talk about Babylon Berlin. Larry, what do you think about that? And Eli Cash just said, I had to sign my name in blood just to get my name to register with StreamYard. No, you didn't. All you had to do was press give permission. Oh, that's funny.
That is funny.
So Babylon Berlin.
Well, now Babylon Berlin is technically not Dieselpunk per se. In my opinion, because, well, it's the way it was in the Weimar Republic.
Is disco.
Huh?
The club scene is a combination of disco and techno. So, yeah, it is Dieselpunk.
That's interesting. See, I'd never really thought about that. That's, I mean, okay, I'm going to chew on that one. Wow. Okay, I'm happy to claim it. I love it because in many ways it's like the dark deco of Dieselpunk embodiment. It has the crime. It has the prostitution. It has the drugs. Every character is a different layer of gray. You know, there's a few absolute baddies in there. You know, like the sort of hitmen that are just, you know, like there's a hitman who dresses as a priest. Okay. I think he's about the nearest thing to being an absolute baddie.
He's more of an operator. He's not really a quote unquote bad guy. He's a worker.
Well, yeah.
He's
a Mac the knife that'll, you know, cut your throat without blinking after you gave mass.
He does good as a priest. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's really cool. The dancing is, the music is great. These WTF moments as you watch it going, what just happened? And you have to watch it all the way through. Then, oh, now that makes, well, kind of sense.
And it's all based around PTSD.
Right. It is. It's really trippy. But anybody that knows the history of the Weimar Republic knows that that's how Berlin was in the 1920s. It was very much Dieselpunk without the retro tech.
The Hellstrom Club or whatever that was there for a while. There was some other BDSM style clubs, satanic clubs. Now, the only reason I turned it punk is because when it went to the club scene, that is techno music and breakdancing.
Well, hey, you know, I'm happy to claim it because I think it's one of the best.
That was the only thing that said punk to me. Everything else said period.
Period.
Until I saw that club scene, I kept watching it and listening to the music, and that was not the jazz of the time. Because that's the kind of music we'd been playing, the black music, which was what the those kind of clubs would have been playing because of that was their rock and roll.
Oh yeah.
These clubs were playing techno music.
Well, and so that's a good point, Dark Soul, that, you know, we need to do this every time. We need to, for our viewers and our listeners, define diesel punk, because some people out there, Larry, are thinking, what are these guys talking about? What makes something punk rather than era or period? And it's been so long since the professor, the bard has shared with us. So tell us what you believe is makes it diesel punk.
Well, okay, let me go back to the definition I like to use for diesel punk, the soundbite definition, that it's a mashup or fusion between modern ideas and jazz age sensibilities. The diesel is the jazz age sensibilities. It can be something as simple as the aesthetics. It's very much the aesthetics. But, I mean, if the dress has a feel of diesel, doesn't have to be in the diesel era, but set in it, like the Babylon Berlin we were just talking about, which is set in the 20s. It could be contemporary and have it. It could be the future and has it.
Blade like, what was the Battlestar Galactica miniseries spinoff? Caprica? Cap City? Yeah.
It had some. There was a ethnic group that always wore fedoras and very 30s style outfits. That's a great example. It had elements. Oh, and they had this virtual reality game where they went into this very diesel punk virtual reality with a giant battle zeppelin and stuff like that, and planes that looked like weird variants of flying tigers. I know what you're talking about, Johnny. That's a great example.
Yeah.
But then it can be also attitude. And that gets back to the punk. It can be retro futurism, like you talk about a lot. You know, walking robots, big giant robots like in Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, or Indiana Jones digging up the... Say again, sir?
The walking robots, the mech.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, it can include mecha. It can include mecha. These diesel punk, right? Not necessarily. The diesel punk art we see World War II and one and two would have big giant mecha, like Dark Soul is talking about.
Yeah, like the game Dust.
Sir.
The game Dust. It uses mechs and all that in it.
There you go.
I love that game.
Great example. Yep. And diesel punk arose out of games.
Mm-hmm.
It originated with games. So there's that. But then there's also attitude. Sometimes it's the bad boy attitude of, let's say, Chicago. One of my favorite movies and plays. Chicago is, in my opinion, very diesel punk. Not because it has retro futurism, because it really doesn't. But it has.
Look who just joined us. It is my brother, Tony Snipes. Not Tony! To interrupt you, Larry.
That's okay. You can interrupt me for Tony. Hey, man.
Yeah. And for those of you guys who don't know Tony, Tony is my twin brother. You can see the family resemblance. And, He is the creator of the Portsmouth Aeroship Building Company project that has blown our minds.
Love it. Love
amazing
it.
Amazing stuff. Amazing.
And I feel so shamed because he's dressed for the occasion tonight.
You.
And we're kind of all casual tonight. But I am supporting my Russian brothers and sisters tonight. So is Dark Soul. Anyway, welcome, Tony. Larry was just telling us, giving us kind of a diesel punk 101. Sorry to interrupt, Larry.
Hey, no, it's so cool to have Tony here. Welcome, Tony.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. I was talking about some things that may not commonly be thought of as diesel punk. and it's attitude, programs of attitude, Chicago, where they glorify the anti-hero. Anybody that's a good guy, they get executed by the state. They're transparent, you know, Mr. Cellophane. They get ridiculed and they lose, like the DA. The ones that come out on top are the murderers, the corrupt lawyer, and they're the ones you're cheering for the whole show, all the way to the end. That's Diesel Punk, in my opinion. So it can be countercultural. It can be anti-heroes. I like to think of the Two Jakes. I like to think of Chinatown as Diesel Punk, because it ends and it has topics that could never have been covered in that era. So anyway, that, folks, is what I defined and how I understand Diesel Punk.
Excellent. Thank you, Larry. So, Tony, before you joined, you saw us talking about what we're doing entertain ourselves during the COVID-19 crisis, you know, sequestering at home. What are you doing? We all know what you're doing. You're creating art. But tell us specifically.
Thank you. I just finished season 2 of Project Blue Book, and it was awesome. It was phenomenal. And I can just watch those episodes all day long and just look at just the attire and just, I mean, looking at the cars. I mean, that's the thing that fuels me and gets me excited. And it has a great storyline. So I really have been binge watching that.
What is that on?
That is, it's on the History Channel. But okay. I switched over to YouTube TV, so now I'm just buying it episode by episode on YouTube.
Well, History Channel is part of Disney Plus, which means I can watch it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I'm excited about that. I've never seen an episode.
Oh man, you will love it. Start at the first season and keep on going.
I definitely will. And we have a comment here from Eli Cash, picking up on what you were saying, Larry. Star Trek: First Contact had a holodeck scene involving Picard blasting away Borg with a Tommy gun.
Yeah, great. He went by the name Dix, didn't he?
That was his name. Dix somebody.
Dixon.
Yep. Dixon. Good job, Ed. Yeah. Great example, Eli. Thank you.
And, this is my buddy, Jake. He wants to know, what's your favorite magic trick that Johnny does? Hey, Jake, we're not talking about that. What's that?
The disappearing Johnny.
Oh, great. There you go. Larry and Dark Soul were talking about Babylon Berlin. Have any of you guys seen the movie on Amazon Prime or Fandango, Abigail?
Not yet.
No. So no. I posted the trailer, as you know, to kind of give a heads up to our steampunk brothers and sisters, because the trailer makes it look like the steampunk movie they've been looking for since Wild Wild West. You know, steampunks have been searching for that quintessential steampunk movie, and they thought it was going to be Mortal Engines last year, and that turned out to be more of a mashup of steampunk, diesel punk, and cyberpunk. Abigail had this appearance from the trailer of being this quintessential steampunk piece, but visually and aesthetically, it was all late 1930s. Shot in Prague. So you have all of that great Eastern Art Deco architecture. All of the cars are, you know, there's cars, and they're all late 30s models, you know, 38, 34, or 39, 40, 42, that era. The clothing is all that kind of Hugo Boss inspired German type clothing, you know, among the officials. The peasants are wearing very common clothing for the Diesel era, the Art Deco age. And the only thing that was really steampunk steam about it was the airship that they used to get to the prison. Everything else was all very, very Diesel. Very cool aesthetically. The storyline was very straightforward, but it was in English, but it was that Eastern European English, so they overdubbed it with American English voice actors, and that just drives me insane. I would rather hear the original dialects of the characters, and even if I have to use subtitles, I just hate overdubbing. So it's worth checking out. For all of you retro punk fans, it's a little bit different, not as pure as, you know, something like Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, but it's worth watching. So, Tony, you talked about Project Blue Book. What is Project Blue Book exactly?
Project Blue Book, it follows the Air Force's investigation of UFO reports. And it partnered a captain from the Air Force along with a scientist in aeronautics and partnered the two of them together. And their job from the Air Force and headed by two Air Force generals was really to go out to every major report that came up for UFOs around the country and to debunk them. But really what's taking place is, even though they're set out to debunk them, they're actually finding out that, you know what, there may be something to this UFO thing after all. And it's based on the real account of the doctor's investigations. And it starts to cross that, really doesn't cross that line, but I think it fits into our definition of diesel punk because of the years, because it originates like in 1945, but then spends most of the time in 1950, the early 50s, but before they get into the space age era. So it's post-World War II, but it still has that same look and feel. I mean, you can watch that thing with the sound turned down and just look at the beautiful scenes and the costumes and the cars and the attention to detail. It's a beautiful show. And then it just ties it all in with that little woven in little bit of fact from the actual account and probably some artistic license that they take to make it really entertaining.
Well, you know, I have always maintained that the diesel punk timeline extends to 1957. Absolutely. And the launch of Sputnik. So, absolutely. Yeah.
Johnny, every episode I watch, and especially when they show the timeline, I said, there go. That's what Johnny's talking about. It's still in that right time frame. So, you'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to watch that. I'm going to start watching that tonight when we get done here. Because I don't have to be to work until 9 in the morning. And there's nobody on the roads of Nashville. It's you've seen that poster of The Walking Dead where the empty highways. That's what it looks like in Nashville right now.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. So what else are you guys doing to keep yourself occupied?
I'm working.
You are working. So Dark Soul is considered essential, but he is still working remote 99% of the week. And we can't go into what he does, but it is essential.
I have to go in on one day a week to my actual location.
But if we told people what you did, we'd have to kill them.
Oh,
get killed.
All right, we got another comment here. Nice goggles, Dark Soul. And this is just someone Facebook. They did not give StreamYard permission to use their name and picture, sadly. So we don't know who that is. But those of you who are watching, post a comment to let us know that you're here. We, since we're using the stream aggregate here, we don't see who's popping up and watching. So unless you post a comment and use your name, we don't know you're here and we don't know who you are.
Hey, Johnny, don't forget to talk about April 24th, too.
Well, why don't you talk about April 24th? Because April we are still going to be sequestered.
And it's really getting that way now, especially with the new April 30th recommendation. I don't know. It won't let me use my name. Okay.
Yeah, that's Jake.
From State Farm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me and
Blake.
I don't know. He does use his real name most of the time now, don't he?
Yeah, Blake Wilson.
Okay. Me and Blake Wilson are running what's called COVIDCon 2020, the free online con for the quarantined. And it's going to be from 2 in the afternoon to about 1 in the morning, and we're streaming it off of Twitch. And what we're doing, actually, is we're going to pre-film the whole thing and then stream it in real time. But it's going to be set up like an actual con. We're going to have the panels and everything in one spot. We're going to have links to a vendor room. We're going to have links to a gaming area. We're going to have links to the biographies. I mean, it'll be set up almost like doors that you go into. And it is completely 100% free. We're still looking for vendors for it.
We've Tony. Got,
huh?
Tony.
Yeah, we're still looking for vendors. COVIDCon2020@gmail.com. And it is 100% free. All we need is your name, what you sell, and a web presence. Your web presence is your table. And we have some actors, we have some directors, we have some writers. One of our writers is John Wilker, who has been writing a series about a spaceship called The Ghost. Excellent series.
Great.
We have, right now we have about 24 or 25 guests and nobody. And the reason I named it COVIDCon 2020 is because of what's going on. But we are not making a dime off of it. No one is making money except for the vendors. And it is made so the vendors and the creatives have an outlet during this time. And
that's cool.
We were sitting, me and Blake were sitting at CC's having pizza right after we found out that Mid-South Con and some other stuff was canceled. And we said, what the hell, let's just have a con. And 48 hours later, we had all of our guests.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Awesome. We need to get on the stick and getting some more people promoting it.
Yeah. I am going to be sending out letters to all of our vendors as soon as I get a formal letter drawn up to have them start promoting too. But
they need to be promoting it and sharing it at least once a week.
Yeah.
Or once a day, I mean. One post a day is not too much to ask.
No, what we're doing is, I mean, like I said, it is 100% free and we're not making a dime from it. But that also means that everybody that is doing it 100% volunteer.
Yeah.
Our guests. We have musical guests. So I guess I have stolen for long enough, unless Johnny wants to put the link for it underneath somewhere in a little scrolling bar, because I know he can.
Well, no, I can't. But, well, maybe I can. No, it's too late to do that now. But We will put it in the show notes when we repost. So okay, COVIDCon 19. So
any vendors that want to join, we will take all vendors, and it is COVIDCon2020@gmail.com.
So
I released it now.
So Tony.
Yes.
I know that you're like me, a big comic book fan. You're an illustrator and artist yourself. And last week, news came down from Diamond Comic Distributors that they are not going to be distributing any product for the, in their words, the foreseeable future. Did you read that letter from the president of Diamond?
I think I got a glimpse of it. Because did you post it?
Because I did. Saw
somebody... Okay, that must be where I saw it from.
It reads like they're just throwing up their hands and closing down permanently. It does not sound like they have any interest in restarting their business. For those of you who are watching, that's substantial because comic book stores all today in America, all comics are distributed only to comic book stores through Diamond Comic Distributors. They are the only distribution source.
Right.
They hold a monopoly. And with them deciding not to ship any new product starting last week, that means there's no product going to stores. And stores are closing down because they're non-essential businesses anyway. But
right. It depends upon who you ask.
Well, that's right. That is depends upon who you ask. Because to me, it's pretty essential. But but you know, you can't even order them, you know, direct, like through mail order. Diamond has cut the supply chain completely. And luckily, DC and Marvel and the larger indie labels are putting their product out on Comixology. Now, Tony, have you ever used Comixology?
I did years ago and checked it out. Didn't spend a whole lot of time with it, but I am familiar with it.
Well, so I was the same way. And I'm a big fan of Comixology from the standpoint that you can get stuff that maybe you wouldn't pay full price for at the comic shop for, you know, 99 cents or $1.99 and try something new on the cheap. And I've discovered a lot of cool stuff that way. Well, now, with there not being any physical product available, I've had to go exclusively digital, and so will thousands of other readers. And luckily, Bitterroot is on Comixology.
Yeah, yeah. I know Stanford, he lives in this area in South Carolina.
Oh, does he really? He is a cat that I really, really want to meet. For those of you who don't know, Bitterroot is this awesome diesel punk comic series about a family in 1920s Harlem that are monster fighters and monster hunters. And it is illustrated. He's getting it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. It's illustrated by a guy named Sanford Green, who to me has one of the most beautiful, distinct styles, very reminiscent of, like, and this will make sense to comic book fans. It's like a combination of Jack Kirby and Carmine Infantino merged together. Does that make sense to you, Tony?
Yes. And he's a real down to earth, nice guy too. I mean, the guy is awesome.
I would love to get him on the show, but for those of you who are into comics and you can't have the physical print copies coming out, Comixology, it's an Amazon company, is a great way to go. And what better way to be a diesel punk than to enjoy a medium that has traditionally been paper form, you know, that dates back to the early 30s, but now in digital form. It's kind of, you know, going back to what you said, Larry, about the technology and the aesthetics. You know, Eric Fisk, who's not with us tonight, he said you could be diesel punk if you're wearing a fedora or a flat cap, but wearing an Apple iWatch. Yeah, there you go. That makes him punk. And so I feel like reading comics in a digital format is one way that I'm celebrating my punkdom.
Johnny, I'm wondering though, because I really think that they're gonna have to change that and get the physical comics in folks' hands, especially now, because one of the things that I really believe is going to take place, especially now since everybody's doing all this nesting and basically, you know, having to stay at home and find things to do.
Yeah.
Anybody that does anything entertainment wise, whether it's, you know, stuff that we write or comics or video or any of that, folks are craving that now. And so I really think just, you know, old fashioned books, just the printed books are going to be something that people are going to need now because of the season that we're in.
Well, and for that to happen, the comic publishers are going to have to move away from Diamond and get their product back in grocery stores and convenience stores. You remember when we were kids, you could go down to the drugstore on the corner, or, you know, to, you know, your local Kroger and go to the newsstand and pick up your favorite comic series. Boss Larry, I'm sure you bought many a Batman comic that way.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I used to buy all my, because I was a Marvel fan, so I bought my Fantastic Four and my Spider-Man and my Hulk and so forth. I think there's going to be, I mean, the marketplace is going to step up. There's going to be somebody that's going to walk in. They'll be say, hey, we're glad to fill the vacuum for you. Thank you very much. Yeah. And we'll take your dollars. We'll take your business. Somebody's going to be, and the stores will have them. Will it expand back to the good old days where comic books will be in drugstores? And I don't know.
They're going to have to.
Yeah, but the nothing is there in the first place. I mean, if you walk down a magazine aisle recently in your drugstore, it's mostly Cosmo and you know, maybe some you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know if the big bucks are there. They'll follow the money. So if the money's in comic book stores, that's where they're going to stay. When we were young, when I was young, there was no such thing as a comic book store. You know, it was the drugstore where you bought your magazine and your comic book. So that's where the market was.
Yeah. And what they've discovered, though, is that when they made that move, they made the move in the late 80s. That's how long ago it's been. And the sales plummeted because, you know, people weren't seeing them at the grocery store newsstand. You had to physically go into a comic book retailer. And the reason they did that was to support those comic book retailers, you know, to give them, you know, demand through exclusivity. But it really didn't work. The average comic book today only sells between 15 and 20,000 copies. A hit, you know, a really strong seller is between 35 and 50. And, you know, the big hit books are around 80,000 copies. Mm. Statistically speaking, that's zero. Nobody's really, you know, they're not a moneymaker for the publishers. And Warner Brothers has been looking at a way to discontinue publishing DC Comics altogether for a couple of years. Is Disney looking at the same thing for Marvel? I don't know. But, you know, they could possibly just say, you know what, this is not a big moneymaker for us. It's mostly a loss, and call it a day.
They could. I still think, though, they'll find another outlet. I mean, there's enough of a market. It's a niche market, true. But it's enough of a market where they'll find another outlet. And I'm worried about my local comic book store down the street. You know, I'm worried about those guys. And so, yeah, I mean, Dallas County, we're one of the hot, you know, growing hotspots. So they're tightening the restrictions every day here in Dallas County. And it's going to get worse as the death count goes up. So I'm worried about those guys. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what comes out market wise. I just think the market's going to solve that issue. It may be Comixology. That may be where the market goes. You may be right, Johnny.
Could
that be. May be the market.
Well, and Eli Cash, who is a comic book creator, just posted, long live Ashcan. Got to keep the head up. So Ashcan editions are these independently published, like almost underground style of publishing. So maybe we're just going to go to self-publishing and we'll see a rise of the independent creators. That would be a good thing, Tony.
That could be a good thing.
That would be an awesome thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm really just interested to see what's going to take place and the things that are going to rise up on the other side of this. Looking at like what he just mentioned, you know, with Long Live the Ashcan, maybe the independent guys will be their opportunity to take another step higher. I'm just looking at things like I'm seeing in the industry that I work in during the day, folks that are still launching virtual concerts because every concert has been canceled. But I'm seeing folks are doing a version of that online on the weekends or during the week. So I'm really excited to see the things that are going to rise up out of the ashes of this thing.
Well, I've had to do that because, you know, for my performance career has completely stopped. There are no events to perform at. There are no tours to give downtown. There is no House of Cards to do magic act. So I've taken to Facebook Live, and every Wednesday night I'm going to be doing a live performance of some kind because it's my only outlet right now.
And I'll tell you what, this is a great time to talk about your local performers that are doing what you're going to do, Johnny. We all know them, and I would say here in a moment, let's mention anybody that we know that's doing that so we can get the word out, you know. But do that. Support your local performer. Find out who's going online, and, you know, they both have PayPal or Patreon accounts.
Or Venmo.
Right. And, you know, show some love with your dollars.
Yep. Corey, any artists that you've been paying attention to doing the virtual couch concerts?
Not that I've paid attention to. I don't know a whole lot of artists as far as musical artists. And then, like, you're the only other one I pay attention to, and Tony watching his time-lapse drawings. But that's I don't really know anyone right offhand.
All right. But you know, like Dark Soul is doing a virtual con. A lot of us are doing virtual concerts, and you know, one thing, Larry, you're a true student of history, and you know, I'm wondering what we're going through right now. How much does it parallel what America has gone through in the early 20th century during the diesel era?
Oh, I appreciate you bringing that up, Johnny, because my recently on my blog, you know, normally I blog every other week. Okay. This week I had time on my hands, so I blogged an extra post titled America in Crisis. And just what you're talking about, Johnny, I went back and looked at and did some research about the Spanish flu, which I think most of our listeners with their love of history will tell you that, you know, they know something about that, because that was a lot like what we're going through now. It happened in 1918 to 1920, thereabouts. And it was brought back by the Doughboys at the end of World War I. And it started slow, but then it took off overnight. And what they found was several things. Those areas of the country that practiced what we today call social distancing and were canceling things, and they did things that we're doing today. They outlawed public gatherings. They outlawed public events. Entertainment got closed. Even some churches were told, areas canceled church services. And back then, there was no, it wasn't even televised church service. So they were really isolated. But those areas of the country that did that, like St. Louis, had a much lower death rate than, let's say, Philadelphia and San Francisco, which had some of the highest death rates of the country. When all was said and done, and it came in waves, they thought it'd get better and then loosen up. And then it'd get bad again and then loosen up. Those communities that listened to the doctors, because even then they knew you needed the social distancing, those that listened to the doctors, they were lower. Those who didn't, for example, San Francisco caved into the business interest. We were talking about businesses closing right now. Mm-hmm. Well, businesses were saying, well, we're hurting. And besides, the whole solution is wearing a mask. Well, it wasn't the solution. So when the second wave hit, they didn't close the businesses, and the death rate skyrocketed in San Francisco. The end result is approximately 168,000 people died in America because of Spanish flu. And again, what the communities did, those that did that survived the best, they did what we're trying to do now. Stay at home. Close the businesses, close the public gatherings, create the distance, and that flattened the curve using modern terminology. This was determined to be, looking back, historians did a big study in 2007 of the Spanish flu and found that these were the solutions that worked looking back. Thanks, Johnny.
And that wasn't the only challenge that we faced during the diesel era. Okay. We had smallpox, polio.
Oh, yeah.
The Great Depression.
Yes, sir.
The Dust Bowl, the famine.
Absolutely.
World War II and the Korean War.
You got it.
This country has endured a lot just in the early part of the first half of the 20th century.
And that's about 30 years, only 30 years apart. That's through the whole period of time. That's amazing. That's back to back to back, a backslap. Just boom, boom, boom. That whole generation lived through that. You're right. You're right. And I guess the optimistic thing is they survived. They did. Strong. And I guess, you want to be all bubbly and optimistic that whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I like to think we'll come out stronger when all is said, done, all is done here.
Well, my dad is 85 years old, and Dark Soul actually interviewed him for the first episode of the Old Codgers Liars Club podcast. if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. It's a trip. But, my dad is one of those guys who, he lived through most of that. And when he looks back on his days as a youth and teenager during the Great Depression, during smallpox and polio and World War II, he remembers those days very fondly. There's a reason why, a lot of that greatest generation yearns for what maybe we've lost. Right. Those people are the people who are the most, I don't want to say laissez-faire about this current crisis, but when I go out to the grocery store to get necessities, the majority of the people that I'm seeing are 60 and over.
Yeah.
I got to think they're optimistic about it because they've lived through it. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't be so dour. Corey? Did you have something to add to that?
I went to Kroger the other day. They have the sign listed for, the elderly, or I don't want to say elderly, but the times for the older generation to go shopping. Mm-hmm. And I went there 2 hours after that was done, and it was nothing but, my parents' age, grandparents' age, and they were just walking around like it was nothing. They didn't care. I'm walking around with, trying to not touch my face, and they're just like they're grabbing stuff off the shelf and putting it back and coughing on stuff. I was like, oh great, so the older generation is gonna kill me.
But they've been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah, they just like, whatever, we've done this before, we'll get through it again.
Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, let's see. We got a comment here from Blake Wilson. The elders lived through polio and measles and the like. Just another thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Just what we were saying.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I wouldn't know. I don't know if I'd say just another thing.
Well, to them.
I would say that. To them, they survived it. They survived it. Many of them survived it. Not all of them did. My mother had polio when she was 4 years old. And thanks to Scottish Rite Hospital, she did survive it, but it left her handicapped for the rest of her life and ultimately killed her early in her life because of it. She died in her early 50s. So, you know, yeah, many did survive it, but remember, like I said, 168,000 people didn't survive the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
So we as an America will come out. There's no doubt about that. The world will come out of this. Okay. And it's going to be, we're going to have to take and maybe learn from them to look the long haul. Okay. We as diesel punks have an advantage. We can have the conversation that Johnny just brought up. Right. Johnny said, well, what did we do before back then? How did we survive back then? And that gives us something that we can share to our friends, our neighbors. Hey guys, remember, did you ever learn about Spanish flu? No, they'll say, because it was 101 years ago. And they'll come back and you can help them, and they maybe have a little, okay. They got through it, like Johnny said. They got through polio. They got through World War II. They got through Korea. You know, as a country, we'll survive this. We'll survive.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, Jake, we're going to get to your question in a minute. We'll close with that. But before we get to Jake's question, Dark Soul, Corey, Tony, I'm curious, have you guys seen, as we've been going through this, have you seen any changes in your circles or maybe in the community as a whole, the personality of the communities? Have people been acting different or doing different things? Have you noticed this?
I don't get out much.
Because you got five kids.
Five kids that I take care of every day. So I don't go out much, but I've noticed, you know, we had a birthday party for my four-year-old the other day, and we couldn't invite anyone, but we did have some people from church, like a drive-by birthday party.
That's cool.
For him. So, you know, stuff like that, people are still trying to get out to see people and interact, but we're doing it from a safe distance. Yeah. Which is, I think it's great that they still did that for us, because, you know, I was kind of depressed because the poor kid turned four and we couldn't have anyone over.
Mm.
So
yeah,
I see people becoming more friendly, more sociable, but from a distance.
And see, Corey, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I actually posted on my personal Facebook page today. I don't like that term social distancing.
Yeah.
I actually posted today. I like the term, I think it describes it better, physical distancing.
Right.
Because physically, you know, keeping our distance, but the flip side of that is I'm seeing, Johnny, people using more of the social tools. And you know, brainstorming and being more creative, like Corey was just talking about, how can we remain physically distanced at a safe distance, but still be social to celebrate his birthday? And they came up with an idea.
Yeah.
What I do during the day, I work in Christian media with Christian radio. And so I have my pulse on what area churches are doing. And many of the churches that were already prepared to, you know, do online services, they cranked that up automatically. But then I've even seen several ministries that have gone to the old-fashioned drive-in concept, where they have folks that are driving their cars and parking in the parking lot and having church. So folks are, I'm really excited just by seeing how folks are brainstorming on how can we still socialize and keep that safe physical distance. And it's phenomenal to just to watch us really just come up with that and all that unfold.
I like that about, I like your phrase, Tony, a lot. In fact, I heard, I think it was the UN, was actually encouraging people to use the term physical distances, just like you said, not social. And and that because they wanted to encourage, hey, guys, you really do need to keep this distance physically from apart. But like you said, we now have the technology our ancestors didn't have.
Well,
I didn't have when I was young. Okay,
that's right.
Last two nights, my wife and I and some other couples have actually played Cards Against Humanity over Zoom.
You know, I've been wondering how that would work. I've been dying to play King of Tokyo. It's my favorite board game. And nobody wants to play it with me in the house. And I'm like, how can I do this virtually? If anyone has any ideas, I guess I'd have to find other people with their own sets. But
I got friends playing Skype over Facebook Live and FaceTime in it. Yeah, they've been playing Skype all week. Back and
really?
Forth with each other. Yeah. They both got their board set up and they make the movements that they need to, and it's pretty cool.
Look at that. See, that's what I'm saying. Look at that.
Yeah, yep. I'll have to put that out. Now, one thing I've noticed, I live in a cul-de-sac in a very Americana type of neighborhood, and people are coming out on their front porches for the first time in the 2 years that we've lived here. Wow. And they're sitting out on the front porches and we're talking back and forth across the street or across the yards.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people in my neighborhood walking. People I've never seen before because we live on a dead-end street with three cul-de-sacs. And people I've never seen before out walking. So we're making friends. We're talking to them from a distance.
Yeah.
We're making that friendship now.
That's a kind of a throwback to the diesel era, right? When they couldn't interact digitally, so they had to get out and meet people. And I'm seeing more of that because as we've been kind of cooped up and still connected digitally, there's now more of a hunger than ever before for the physical relationship. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think that's a good outcome of this whole crisis.
I've been watching people walk up and down the street and see who would fit in a crock pot.
Leave it to Dark Soul. Hey, on a lighter side, Blake Wilson says he's eating Diesel Punk tonight. Corned beef and hash with saltines.
That's cool.
Do you guys like corned beef and corned beef hash?
Oh, yeah. I love corned beef.
You don't, Corey?
I'll eat it, but it's not my favorite.
I really like it a lot. I've not had good corned beef hash in a while. But if it's homemade, oh, man, there's not a whole lot better.
Tastes better with a fedora, Corey. You got to put one of those on, and then you get right
in the moment. There you go. I'll have to get one. I'm working on getting one. I just haven't yet.
I'll tell you, the Diesel Punk survival kit is corned beef hash and Spam.
Yeah. Crap. What am I doing?
So
sorry.
Blake Wilson said board game simulator. It's a PC game. I guess I'll have to take a look at that for King of Tokyo for digital virtual play. But so before we go, guys, thank you guys for joining us. This has been really cool doing this like this.
Yeah.
Jake, Magi Jake asked us a question about music. Now, he asked what kind of music we like to play when we cosplay. And we're not cosplayers in the sense with this group that I am with the League of Impossibilists with Dark Soul and Corey. And Tony, I don't know if you've ever gotten into cosplay. You're doing the Diesel lifestyle thing pretty much 24/7 now. So it's part of your lifestyle. And Larry, you're kind of the same way. But when you want to just kick back and immerse yourself into another world, what is your favorite music to listen to?
Cash registers.
Who?
Who?
Cash registers.
Cash registers. Are you being literal, or is there a group called the Cash
Ka-ching,
Registers?
Ka-ching.
Okay, both. Okay. Larry, what's your music pick of the night?
Right now is Postmodern Jukebox. My wife.
Love them.
Ah, love them.
On Postmodern Jukebox, yes. YouTubes. Yes. All this time. And, Scott Bradley is doing, like, every few days a solo performance on the piano. Like, most recently, it was like, I Think We're Alone Now was his most recent performance. So,
Anaya Kane. A-N-A-N-A space K-A-Y-E.
Anaya Kane. All right.
Anaya Kane?
K-A-Y-E.
Okay. What kind of music does she do?
Her and her husband do a mixture. They're originally from Georgia, and I'm not talking about the state of Georgia.
Oh, okay. Russia. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're actually some of the music. They're going to be part of the musical guests on the con.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Cool. Blake Wilson, you're watching. Make sure you post a link to COVIDCon. And he said, James Darren, shouldn't that be Bobby Darren? Tony Bennett, anything from the old Vegas era. Oh, you know, yeah. I go from rags to riches.
Oh, love Tony.
What about you, Corey?
I've always loved, like, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat them. And lately I've listened to a lot of Caro Emerald.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's how you pronounce her first name. But, yeah, I love her.
Yeah, that kind of electro jazz thing going on.
Yeah. And I got a friend named Kelsey Ray, and she does a lot of, like, the old Patsy Cline style music. She gave me one of her albums. It's really good. I like it. I'll have to bring it for one of the podcasts one day, let you hear it.
Oh, but wow.
It's all that old 40s and 50s and big band era. I just love all that.
Yeah. So all right. What about you, Tony?
Like Corey said, that big band era stuff. I love on a Saturday morning getting up and cooking some breakfast and listening to Helen Forrest and anything from that big band era. And just singing along while I'm cooking some eggs and some bacon and just keeping it going, man.
Yep.
Well, and per your request, Tony.
Yes.
I'm going to be doing some musical performances just for you. I have the hardest time learning music, especially memorizing lyrics. So, I'm going to be doing some covers of some Big Bad Voodoo Daddy stuff.
Oh, wow.
Brian Setzer stuff and some postmodern jukebox. They did a version of Thriller that I've been working on for the last year. Because it's Thriller night.
Love it.
And it's all jazz.
You do that, sir. You do that, sir. We will book you for a hangar show at the yard.
All right, we'll do it. We'll make it happen.
Hey, can I put a plug in for a musician?
Sure.
Would that be okay? Okay. Matt Tolentino. He migrated to Dallas years ago and took over a big band called the Singapore Slingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he and his wife moved back to Cincinnati. And, of course, like all these musicians, he's a professional musician. He has nothing now. Okay? No gigs. No restaurants to play in, nothing. So he's doing online streaming regularly. Yep. So Matt Tolentino, his focus is like 20s and between ragtime and early in the jazz era and early 20s, not so much 30s. He's much more 20s. He's fantastic. So I want to plug his work. Check him out on Facebook. He does live performances. You can show some love by sending him a few bucks and help him make it through this time. He and his wife are fantastic people.
Awesome. Do us a favor and send us a link to that. And anybody who's watching, If you do some kind of entertainment, be it online or, you know, in print, art, whatever it is, promote it. Go ahead and post it as a comment. Let our viewers know where they can find your stuff. And that would be fantastic. And Blake just posted a link to COVIDCon, facebook.com/COVIDCon. So check that out. Hmm. And this Wednesday night, I'll be doing a Facebook Live of my magic act, Bamboozled, Volume 2. And I'll be doing some of that musical stuff. I won't be singing on this show, Tony, but I will be doing some of my musical magic with some jazz stuff. I'll be eating razor blades and doing some stuff with cocktails and cigars, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out. Any last thoughts from our panel here? Going once.
Yeah. Well, not about. I think we've covered a lot of great stuff, man. I don't.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Larry? Just for old time's sake, I'm going to let you say your sign off, and we'll say goodnight.
Well, you know, these are some tough times for us, not just America, but worldwide. And now's the time. I know we got to keep social distancing, but, you know, check on your neighbors, you know. Don't, you know, knock on the door, give them a call. I saw a case earlier where a senior citizen whose window faced the kitchen of another, of a neighbor, and they had an agreement. Every day, if everything was okay, she'd put up a green piece of paper so the neighbor could see it. And then if she needed help, like going to the grocery store, she'd put up a yellow piece of paper. And they would get in contact, and they'd go down and help her out. If things were serious, that it was an emergency, if she needed something serious right then, right now, she'd put up a red piece of paper saying that she was in distress. So take care of each other right now, because, well, that's what life is all about.
Well said, Larry. And on behalf of Dark Soul, Tony Snipes, Pretty Boy Corey, this is Big Daddy Cool saying, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side. And good night.